Hello, everybody. Malcolm Teasdale here, the travel addict. Yeah, I'm back in town for a while, but I tell you what, extensive travel over the last 2.5 months, it's a bit tiring, or as we say in Britain, knackering. I survived, that's the main thing, but my latest escapade was something that was planned for quite some time. It's an obligation, because I do lecturing on cruise ships, and I had a great one on one of the luxury cruise lines, down in the southern part, or primarily southern part of the Caribbean. So to get there, well, I sort of went on the wrong day. Couldn't help it. In fact, I forgot all about it. But it taught me one thing. Do not travel anywhere on Easter weekend. And I had to travel through Charlotte Airport. Well, actually, I stayed overnight there. But the airport on the Saturday, Easter weekend, was absolutely chaotic. Too many passengers, not enough space to put them, and the airlines themselves, well, one of the airlines I flew with, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but there's a couple of A's in it, were just sort of messed up because they couldn't handle the quantity of passengers. And we had to tag our own bags, and people were in the wrong lines. It's utter chaos. But anyway, I made it down there into the departure area and caught the flight to Bridgetown, Barbados, but I had to overnight there as well. But what a difference in airports. So got off at Bridgetown. That's about a four-hour flight, actually, from Charlotte. And I had to stay overnight there. So I stayed in the half-decent, actually pretty decent, Marriott Courtyards in Bridgetown and found a little local bar to go in for the night, which was really neat, by the way. And overnight there before going to the cruise ship port to get on a ship. Now, Barbados, if you don't know, is actually one of the easternmost nations in the Caribbean. In fact, it's part of the Windward Island chain, but it's about 100 miles east. We try and simplify things as much as possible in the Caribbean, so if we told the actual truth, it probably confuse a lot of people, which brings me to another point. Now, the national sport of Barbados is cricket, as it is for many other Caribbean islands. So what I'm saying is, if there was a national sport for the Caribbean or the West Indies, it would be cricket. More about that in a little while. Got on the ship in Barbados, and it left later that night. First stop was St. Lucia, but most of the cruise ships stop in Castries, which is the capital, but we docked or tendered just outside the bay in Rodney Bay. Which was quite nice, but I didn't have any talking gigs to do the first couple of days because you usually do them at sea days, to be honest with you. So that was a sort of a relaxing day. The next port of call was the island of Grenada. Interesting enough. Neat place, actually, the capital city. St. George, I think it is. Yeah. Was lively, but just decent to walk around. Sort of hilly terrain, but good workout. A few nice churches to go into there, but I enjoyed walking around there, but really good. Third stop was Trinidad and Tobago. Well, actually, to be more precise, it was Tobago. Now, Tobago is in a smaller one of the two, associated with Trinidad, right? Now, Tobago has a port there, and the cruise ship tended there as well, but I got off and did a bit of walking up on the sort of the volcano side, steep slope, and saw how the people lived. I hadn't been there for probably 15, 20 years when I was there in business, but I got to see how the people lived there. Interestingly enough, it was in Pirates Bay that I hung out. So, yeah, there was dogs walking around. People liked their beer there. There was a lot of empty beer bottles, I can tell you, but I enjoyed walking around there. Beach is sort of mediocre, but it's good to see how people live. Funnily enough, I did talk to one of the locals there, and I asked him about this. And, you know, he said, you come on the wrong day, man. If we'd been there 2 days before, it was Easter Monday, which is a huge party celebration in Tobago. They have a big tournament, you know, dancing, partying, but it's a big day for goat racing. Yeah, they invented goat racing. Pretty bizarre. The participants are obviously goats, but the guys have sort of straps to the goats and they run behind. So both the goat and the man has to cross the finish line first to actually win. So, yeah, goat racing is pretty bizarre, but they created this. They also do crab racing there, of all things. But I asked one of the locals, actually, well, do you have a goat? And he didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I mean, the greatest of all time goat. And he confused him even more. I said, don't worry about it. We have good goats, he said. So that's the main thing. Anyway, it was a brief visit, but neat to walk around there. Then there was a sea day. It was lecture day, basically. And on board with me were a couple of other lecturers, myself doing what I do. But there was a retired professor and astronaut. And there was also a retired airline pilot who flew the Concorde. Great guys, by the way. And they doing their thing there and telling me about their experiences. And a crowd, actually. One in space and one flying the Concorde. And also the demise of the Concorde. But very informative. And I was doing my thing about cultures in the Caribbean, history, geography, and all that. But we had a day at sea. Then we stopped in Curaçao. In the ABC Islands, and they're Dutch territories, basically. Keep it brief here. There's a bit of history between each of the islands, but they're basically Dutch territories. And what I did there, I took an excursion. Well, I escorted a group off the cruise ship, and we went to see the dolphins. Yeah, we jumped in the water with the dolphins and played with the dolphins in the water. What a fantastic experience. Friendly, super friendly animals. And they're trained to, obviously, behave with humans. As long as you give them fish, that's all they're happy about. But they do have what we call teachers, or people who guide them by hand signals. But to be in the water with these beautiful animals, fantastic. So, yeah, we had to do some hand signals to get them to splash and all that stuff. But that was great. And Curaçao is a decent island anyway. So we were there for the day, and the next stop was Bonaire. Bonaire, out of the three islands, is probably my favorite because it's a marine park, and they protect it very well. It's probably the best scuba diving in the Caribbean. Now, Bonaire wasn't part of the itinerary initially, but Port Royal in Jamaica was. However, that was changed about a month before, mainly because of the level of violence that is happening in Jamaica these days, and Port Royal is within, you know, a reasonable distance of Kingston, and Kingston is a troublesome place. So obviously the cruise line weren't going to go to that place and let their passengers go walking around there and get in trouble. I get that. So Bonaire was it. I didn't go diving there, but I just walked around, had a chill-out day. That was great. And after that was a visit to Aruba. Yeah, the ABC Islands, Aruba. And we stopped at Orangestad, Orange City. Orange, named after William of Orange, who started the war or the revolution against the Spanish, 80-year war for independence. That's another story. But yeah, great city is Orangestad, and also great place. Now, there's a major shipwreck there. It's called the Antilla, named after a town in Cuba. That's another story. But during World War II, what Germany did, they invaded the Netherlands. Okay, and at the same time, they built this ship. It was a cargo ship, classed as a cargo ship. So it sailed across the Atlantic Ocean and appeared on the outskirts of Aruba. Right, and what happened then is the Dutch, obviously, that their home country had been invaded. So they wanted to get on board. So basically, to cut a long story short, the boat was sank, the Antilla was sank per the captain, the German captain. Now, Aruba is famous for, you know, a few things, but one of them is the deposits of phosphates held by limestone and the seagulls who do their business on the limestone. Anyway, it's phosphates. Phosphates is great for making fertilizer, right? So everyone wants fertilizer for food and all that stuff. The other thing it can be used for is explosives, which probably explains why the Antilla was over there. Anyway, the ship was sank, so I went diving down to about 50 feet, swimming around the wreck of the Antilla, which is the biggest shipwreck, basically, in the Caribbean. There's a few more around. So, cool place was Aruba. Then it was another sea day as we headed north. The water was just fine. So collectively, I had about five lectures. Initially four, but I was asked to do another one. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do this. Now, I mentioned cricket a few times to fellow passengers, and most of the passengers were from the United States and Canada, but primarily from the United States. Okay. A few Brits on board as well, because it's easy to get flights from Britain over to Barbados at about three or four a day. So a few Brits, but people were asking me, explain the rules of cricket. Well, it was a sea day, so I got one of my talks up, and it's called Sports and Recreation in the Caribbean Islands. It's a cultural thing, i.e. goat racing in Tobago. You know, crab racing is another thing. There's other sports. Now, the most popular sport, most played sport in the Caribbean is soccer, you know, i.e. football to the Europeans. And the second one is probably cricket. Basketball's played, baseball's played, and other plays. You know, it's obviously great for fishing and sailing and other sports like that. But there's a few really weird ones as well, like cockfighting still happens in Puerto Rico. Yep, I've seen some of that live. It's disgusting, but that's the way it goes. So I did this talk about sports and recreation in the Caribbean. I explained that if there was a national sport, not a national sport, but if a sport represented the Caribbean, or it was a national sport, I should say, that's probably what I meant to say, it would be cricket, because it's a national sport of probably at least half a dozen cities, Barbados, Trinidad, Jamaica, St. Lucia, a number of countries it is. So it's quite popular. Even the Turks and Caicos, it's a national sport. So people were saying, explain the damn rules with you. Well, I had to say, look, everybody, look, if I explain the rules to you, it would take about 3 weeks to do. And everyone started laughing. I said, but I did say to them, I said, look, I got a 2-minute version. Do you want to hear it? And of course, the hands went up. And then I felt obliged to, you know, speak it. You know, and it's pure gibberish, but people forced me into it. That was my excuse. So here's cricket, the Teasdale brief version. Now, cricket pitch is 22 yards long by 10 feet wide. At the end of the pitch, you have wickets, which are three stumps with bales on the top at each end of the 22 yards. Now, bowler bowls six balls from one end to a batsman at the other end. And when that's done, another bowler bowls six balls from the other end to the batsman at the other end, if you know what I mean, right? There's two batsmen in at once, which really messes with people's heads anyway. But bear in mind, cricket is the second favorite sport in the world, after soccer, of course. Just to let you know that, because many countries play this. So there's different fielding positions with really bizarre names, which I can't go into here because I haven't got enough time. But basically, the rules are this. You have two sides, one out in the field and one in the clubhouse. Each man that's in the side that's in the clubhouse goes out. And when he's out, he comes in and the next man goes in until he's out. Now, when they are all out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you even get men that are still in and not out. Basically, it's this. When a man goes out to go in, the men who are out try to get him out. And when he is out, he goes in, and the next man in goes out and goes in. There are two men called umpires who stay out all the time, and they decide when the men who are in are out. Making sense? Now, when both sides have been in and all the men have been out, and both sides have been out twice after all the men have been in, including those who are not out, basically that's the end of the game. Now, there's different variations of it. There's a 5-day test. Yeah. As I say to people, cricket's probably the only game in the world, sport in the world, that can last for 5 days and end up in a draw. It really messes with the people's heads back here in the United States. But there's a three-day version and there's a one-day version. And there's a version which is less than 1 day. It's called T20. Each team bowls 20 overs. That's another story. So how do people talk about this game? Well, there could be chit-chat in the clubhouse. So if you were sort of a fly on the wall and inside the clubhouse, you may hear some of these statements. Example, may have a player saying, "You know what, guys, when I was in, I did not think I was out when I was out, so I had to come back in when I should have still been out." Okay, another one. "When I was going out to go in, the batsman who was out and was coming in said to me, 'Hey, when you get in, just stay in. Don't get out, then have to come back in.'" Is one about the umpire. "The umpire said I wasn't out when the players from the other team said that I was out. So I stayed in until I was out. When the bowler bowled me a googly, I wanted to slug it over the deep backward square leg position, but I mishit it, and it was caught by the fielder at silly mid-off." Another one. "At the end of the day, we had five batsmen who went in and were out, two batsmen that went in and were not out, and three batsmen who never went in." Yeah, that makes sense to me. And let's just give it one more. "The bowler was an expert at leg breaks and off spin with the occasional googly, which enabled him to get many batsmen out soon after they came in." Now, there you have it, folks. Just a brief description of cricket and what you may hear cricket players talk about. That was a C-day. You could say, yeah, cricket is a good cure for insomnia. You probably could say that. Anyway, the next day, port day, was actually Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. And I've been there a couple of times on business, but the place had changed a bit. They're advising people not to walk into Santo Domingo from the cruise port by themselves. Well, I did because I'd never heard the announcement. Yes, it was a bit edgy. There's lots of tourist police around. But I did walk into town all amongst all the traffic and went into the old town, which is quite nice, actually. Santo Domingo has the oldest cathedral in the Americas. Americas consist of North America, Central America, and South America. It has the oldest cathedral in the Americas. Yep, and it's not that big, but it's worth going for a look around. At one time, it housed the remains of Christopher Columbus. So anyway, I walked around there for a while. Then I decided to walk back to the ship. You know, I thought, well, how far could it be? I got lost a little bit, and I saw some places which were a bit sort of edgy, but I made it back, and I was obviously still alive. Okay, the next day, we stopped at Isla Catalina, which is a little island to the east of Santo Domingo. And I've never been there before, but the boat or the ship tendered out and we got like a tender boat into the beach area. It was very nice, nice to walk around there. Cool beach. Not too exciting, but it was just a relaxing day. And that was basically it. Three more sea days, actually, before we got back to Miami. And after got back to Miami, yeah, got off the ship and then went to Miami airport and flew home. That lasted 2 weeks. But you know, after going on that cruise to Asia, which was fantastic, month away, coming back for a week and going on this, I'd basically, you know, thought I need to give it a rest, stay at home for a while and just rest up. You know, it's probably a good idea. So that's it for me. I'm back home now. We'll have some guests on the Travel Addict podcast coming up soon. Stay tuned, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. And, you know, contact me if you've got any questions about cricket. You may get a weird answer, but hey, that's the way it is. But actually, what you can do, go on YouTube and type in cricket, a cricket match or something like that, and watch it in action. Yeah, it'll probably confuse you even more, above and beyond what I've told you today. Anyway, take care, folks. Talk to you soon. Bye. Many thanks for joining me today. This is Malcolm Teasdale signing off. Before I do, please check out my website, malcolmjteasdale.com, for more information about my travels around the world. Okay, folks, talk to you later. Bye for now. Stay safe.